الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So maybe those who are, you know, close may know some of these stories, but over maybe the course of the past 6 months or so, we've had several run-ins with some furry critters, right? Lovable creatures that we call squirrels. And actually started at one point in time when I was actually on the way to Mehfel, right? Some people may actually remember that we were driving down to Mehfel, and as we were coming here towards Masjid Bilal, my wife looked over and she noticed that on the dashboard, the arrow for how hot the engine was, it had gone completely on like the hot side. So we sort of tried to, you know, coast off the ramp, and we got off maybe 10 minutes away from Masjid Bilal, and literally we were just turning into one thing and the car just died on us. And we were just grateful that it didn't blow up on us. And then we opened up the hood, and it was in front of, I think, a Hardee's or something. We opened up the hood, and I looked inside, and the whole engine was full of leaves, right? It was full, like, packed with leaves, and then there's things which were, like, ripped out, and I said, no, it was sort of weird, because, you know, given the milieu, you're wondering, you know, is this a hate crime? Is this a bomb which is planted in here? I said, I'm not touching this, right? So we called the police. The fire department is there. The police cars are there. Like, I just want to make sure, like, this isn't, like, people have jihada, you know? You don't know what to expect. So, you know, and then they looked in, and then, they slowly took it out, and they looked in, and they're like, it was a nest. Right, we've never seen anything like it, but they had literally created a nest in the entire engine, right, and filled it, and then, like, torn up inside, and there was all these wires which were cut. So I gave it to one of our local brothers, mashallah, in the work of, you know, da'wah. He, mashallah, did the work for us, alhamdulillah, and the car was back and running for a little bit of time. And then subsequently was sitting for another couple of days, another nest was built, and this time, it was when the heat wave happened, and they ripped apart the inside of the car. Right, they had to get a whole wire out, like, you know, thousands of dollars worth of damage, and tore everything out. Right, and when the people actually go in, they had to go in back into the dashboard, you know, completely redoing it. And so finally, after we invested all this money, and then we got the car back, and we were trying to sell it. While we were waiting for it to be sold, they got in the car again. Right, and made a nest, and they had, like, eaten part of the battery. I don't know what it is about them and Hondas, because again, contrary to, I guess, no popular belief, you know, Desis and, like, Japanese cars always go together. But, you know, the Camry was fine, but the Honda, it's like they had a predilection for. So alhamdulillah, then finally, the car got sold. Right, it went away. But then we still have the other car. And so now, like, you're sort of, you know, hypersensitized to any time I see, like, squirrels in the neighborhood, right? It's like, and so one day I was, like, I think I was heading off to work, and it was the morning time, and then I heard this pattering, things falling. So then I'm starting looking around, you know, looking to my right, looking to my left, you know, scoping out the situation, where are these critters? But I don't see anything, right? And I hear more pattering and more pattering. I'm just thinking, what's going on? And then I looked, and then what I realized was that it was actually the leaves which were falling all the way from the top of the trees. They were all falling to the ground. But it wasn't a very windy day. It wasn't a very breezy day. So it wasn't something that would have immediately come to mind. It was just like, you know, it was the slightest movement of the wind was enough to take these leaves and throw them off the tree. And by the time they fall all the way from the top of the tree and hit the bottom of the tree, I mean, hit the ground and covered the ground, it made a little padding sound, right? Like a little, like that. So it was probably lighter than that. So there's a couple of things that actually you can learn from that experience. Not from the squirrels. There's probably many things that you should learn from that, like park your car in the garage. But from the leaves falling, one of the things that comes to mind is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ وَلَا حَبَّةٍ مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَدٍّ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَدٍّ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That does not fall from a leaf from the tree, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, and there is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, وَلَا رَبِّ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, except that it is recorded. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I mean, this was, I'll tell you, when we started raking our yard, we had like one big tree in the front. I don't know if it's a birch or oak or what, but I mean, the kids will tell you, we had like 16 bags full of leaves, right? And it's still not done because it's blanketed again, right? Or partially blanketed again. And you just think that every single leaf that's falling down, it doesn't fall except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. How perfect His... And this is like one single suburb in St. Louis with one big tree, which is like some forgotten area that people probably don't even know about, right, what this road is. And then there's these... at the same time, we were like sort of... The night before, I think we were... Or that same night, we were looking for, replying for like an outdoor retreat. So we're looking at the Smoky Mountains, and you see these mountains carpeted, right, carpeted in trees. And how, and when it becomes fall, right, I mean, how many trees there must be on the mountains of Maine, right? And how many trees there must be in the jungles of, these different continents. And not a single leaf is falling, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly which leaf is falling, where it is falling, at what velocity it's falling, and where it lands. Right? How perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge must be, how grand He must be, how majestic is our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He, I mean, how, when we say in Allah alimun hakeem, He's really alim. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is so perfect, one of the things that is so puzzling is that how can a person think, how can a person sin and feel that he will get away from Allah? Right? How can a person disobey Allah and think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know it? If you were to put 1,000 covers around you, it would not escape the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If His knowledge is really that encompassing, that vast, there's no escape. Right? There's no escape. So that's one thing that comes to mind. And the second thing is somewhat related, is that it was sort of really telling that these trees were so loosely attached to the tree that it just took the slightest movement of the wind and they got knocked off. And I just started looking back in my life about how many people, I've crossed paths with who just completely fell off the wagon when it comes to deen. Either left the deen or become un-Islamic or leave their connection with the deen, whatever it is. And it was just like that. It's like these, like a gentle wind, right? A small situation in their life, something very minor might happen, and they completely out. They just fall off the tree of Islam. They fall off the tree of Iman. And the person takes a step back and think about how does that happen? Like sometimes you're just completely just astounded. How can such a person who was so, he was used to pray, he used to do this, how can they just go? I mean, just fall off like that. And the reason is, there's lessons to be learned, because the reason that happens is, what do two leaves or plants need to live? They need two things. They need water, right? And they need sunlight. They need light. So in the same way, a person's soul also needs to be watered. And in the same way, a person's soul also needs nur. And if you deprive it, and you deprive it, and you deprive it, and you deprive it, it gets to a point where that connection with the tree becomes so weak that it just takes a little nudge, and it falls right off. Little nudge, and you fall right off. And it doesn't always have to be even with iman. It can be, for example, certain sins. People who try to avoid sin and abstain from sin, sometimes when they lose that connection with the tree and it becomes sort of weak, it becomes a very very simple circumstance, right, that they should have been strong in, but because they come to a circumstance, they just fall off. Right? For example, I mean, one thought that comes to mind right now is, say a person's not praying their nafil, right? They sort of not pray their nafil. They say, oh, it's nafil, I don't have to pray. And then they're really busy, they stop praying their sunnah. So each one of these were layers of protection for your fard. A person who's like neurotic about praying their nafil, they can't think about leaving their sunnah. And a person who's neurotic about praying their sunnah, they can't think about leaving their fard. So with shaitan gets rid of your nafil, he gets rid of your sunnah, and the only thing you have for your bare bones, you're hanging on by your fard. Then what happens is you go to interview. Or then what happens is that you have an important class and a test is coming up. And then the time is going for salah. You're like, I should pray, I should pray, I shouldn't pray. And then what happens is that the salah falls off. It just falls off the tree. Because you had already brought it down, that connection with the tree had already become so weak, right? Because all the other things had already been cut off. And it's the same way with, you know, you can look at anything else in the deen. A person, for example, would never have thought himself, you know, to commit zina with a girl. Never. He means, there's no way I would have ever done that. But then he started, like, listening to a little bit of music. Then he started, you know, maybe just hanging out with girls, but it's completely platonic. And then, you know, one day he decides to, you know, his friends are all going to the club. He says, I'm going to go there, but I'm never going to do it. And that happens a couple of times. And all of these things are weakening, right, the connection that this one leaf has with the tree. And then what happens is that one day, that one girl, she flashes that smile, and then the rest is history, as they say, right? And he just fell off the tree. Never thought, and the next day he gets up, he's like, I never thought where I was and how did I end up here. So when a leaf is, you know, alive and it's healthy and it's in summertime, you know it's not so easy just to pull it off, right? You have to really yank it right before it comes off. It doesn't want to let go. And so what is the water of the soul? The water of the soul, the way we water our souls is through salah, right? And to pray salah properly, with due attention, not just rushing through it. Right? Because a person can say, oh, a plant needs water. Here, let me throw some, sprinkle a little bit of water on there. And he takes a little bit and he throws it on the plant. The plant's not going to grow. Do you give the water? Yes, technically you gave the plant water, but it didn't give the type of water that it needed to grow. In the same way, did you pray? Yes, you might have prayed, but if you have to pray the way we should pray, the way it's meant to be prayed, that's properly watering the soul. And just like the plants need light to grow, otherwise they become weak and dead. In the same way, the light, or in Islam we call light nur, right? So there's also nur in the deen. And so each one of the different ibadat have nur, and the strongest nur is the nur of the Qur'an. Right? The nur of the dhikr is somewhat light, but the nur of the Qur'an is very powerful. In fact, there was one of our pious predecessors, subhanAllah, he was not a hafiz, but he would be able to correct people. Either it was about his or it was about the hadith, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it's about hadith. People would go to him and narrate a certain hadith, and he would say, no, this is not from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or he would say something, and then they would say, he said, yeah, that's from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he wasn't an alim of that stature. And they say, okay, well, what is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, I don't know. So people were just completely puzzled. They're like, what's going on here? So then one day, it was his secret came out, when I don't know how, but it came out that what happens is that Allah SWT had given him kashf. So he said that there is a particular nur which is associated with the hadith of Rasulullah. There's a particular nur with the Quran. And when people would recite the Quran, when they say the hadith, I would see that nur emanating from their mouth. So I would know that it was there. But when it was something else, then that would just stop. And that's how I would tell. So there's like a whole spiritual reality to this on the back end that we don't realize. The nur of our hearts, Rabi'a Qulubina, the spring of our hearts, the solace of our hearts is in reading of the Quran. أَفْضَلُ ذِكْرِ الْقُرْآنِ. The best zikr is the Quran. And so if we're not feeding our heart with Quran, then it gets weak. But then if you think about this, you think about it a little bit deeper, then you say that, look, you take a leaf or you take a plant and you can water it all you want. And you can put it in as much sun as you want, but if it's in the winter season, it's not gonna stand, right? Still fall off the tree. But then you're like, okay, well, how do you reconcile that? What's the lesson in that? The lesson in that is she takes a little bit of deliberation, but if you look a little bit deeper, it actually makes entire sense. Because how many people do you find or meet in your life that they pray five times a day? And how many people that you meet in your life that they actually read Quran, right, on a regular basis? They might actually be teachers of Quran. They might actually memorize the Quran and yet engage in every single type of sin. And so you're just like, it just doesn't make sense. But it makes complete sense when you think about it in the context of these leaves falling off and fall. Because no matter how much water you give it or how much sunlight it gets, the season has to be right. Right? The environment has to be supportive for growth. If the environment is not supportive for growth, you can throw everything in the kitchen sink at it, it just doesn't grow. In the same way, if a person is reading Quran, they're praying Salah, but they don't have the right environment, and particularly they don't have the environment of righteous people around them, then that causes a person, even if they're trying to hang on, if you're in the wrong environment, if you're putting yourself in a spiritual winter, like you surround yourself with people who aren't taking you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are distracting to you, then despite all of this nourishment, so to speak, people still fall off. People still fall off. So if a person really wants to be very careful and wants to be in a state of continual growth, then what do? Right? It's very simple. You create a greenhouse. Right? You create a greenhouse. That even if it's winter outside, you create an artificial environment around yourself where you can always be sustained. And then you give the proper nourishment, and then you see growth. Whether it's spring, fall, winter, it doesn't really matter. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those people who are able to always be cognizant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, that we're careful of our actions because nothing escapes His knowledge. And we pray that He makes us amongst those who are able to always hold on to the tree of our iman and stay connected to it until the day that we die. And make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He make the best day of our existence the day that we meet Him, and allow every day thereafter also to only increase in greatness and beauty. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So we spend a little bit of time, inshallah, as we do every week, in dhikr. There are certain formulae from the Quran and other places that, you know, I'll recite, and a person can just sort of think about it to themselves and contemplate the meaning. For example, if I read the ayah, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, there's no deity worthy of worship except for you, and glory be to you, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen, indeed I'm amongst those who have oppressed themselves, or the monks oppressor, and the person can just think about how that applies to themselves in their life. And when I say salawat, we send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and peace and blessings on him. In person can read the durood that they read in prayer, for example, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ولي المؤمنين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Spend just a few minutes remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.